Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. On this Wednesday, sorry. We're eating good here at Belmead Historic Site and Winery. You can step into Nashville's history. This place is awesome, and we appreciate them having us today. We'll talk to Cherie here in just a little bit to learn a little more about different things they have going on here at Belmead. So they got the Belmead bourbon here, too.
They do, don't they?
Yeah. You all right over there?
I am. I got all material. I'm telling you, man, as a Nashville native and a person who loves history, there is a lot of history here. And the fact that every Kentucky Derby winner is tied in to this place is fascinating. And Cherie will tell us more about that. But, yeah, I think it's great. Always a Nashville connection. Always.
Always. The NFL has said that Philadelphia Eagles star Jalen Carter will not be suspended for future games. He said, they said basically missing the entire game Thursday night served as the suspension.
You knew that. What garbage.
Yeah. I mean,
the game had started. This was not pregame.
Right.
This was not a pregame thing. They should suspend him for another game or more. But it's like, okay, we'll slap you on the wrist. Don't do it again. It's just ridiculous.
I'm indifferent on it. And I'm a Cowboys fan, so I guess I was glad to see him get thrown out. But, like, if he swung and threw a punch, then, yeah, I would say add an additional game. But, I don't know. It's not setting a great example.
Not at all.
I'll say that.
And then it happened in the Florida game where the players spit on the South Florida, and they got extra first down and 15 yards and ended up losing the game. So it's pure stupidity. You should be kicked out and suspended and been made an example of.
So check this out. He will forfeit his week one game check, which is $57,222.
Good. Should forfeit three of those.
And according to that's according to Schefter, but he'll be available for week two. The NFL Players Association has also notified the league that Carter has waived his right to an appeal.
Because he knows.
Yeah, and he's getting off easy.
Yep.
But, I mean, $57,000, like, you and I would love that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, we would love that.
That's just – that kind of puts it in perspective. That's what he makes per game.
Times
over $57,000.
Yeah. Look that up on my little computer here and see what I can – that comes out.
Well, did they get paid for the bye week?
You have to ask Derek Mason about that. I think they get paid per game.
Yeah. That's just crazy. So that's the latest on Jalen Carter. And then there's some not good things that I guess have come out about Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
So almost $1 million.
Wow. Yep.
Have come out about Tyreek Hill. He's been accused by his estranged wife of domestic violence.
Not good.
So not good.
Not good at all.
So again, that just adds to the list of reasons I would not want him on my team.
The Jets have signed Isaiah Williams. This guy, though, is a punt returner.
Yeah, I was about to say,
the Bengals practice squad because Aaron Glenn cut their punt returner who dropped and fumbled a punt on Sunday. And he says, I'm not here to send a message, but, yeah, you basically fired your kickoff, your punt returner, because he fumbled. So, yeah, a lot of accountability early on from these new coaches. Get it done. Well, for them. Jets off to another rousing 0-1 start.
And I don't think they're going to be very good. And I mean, look, Aaron Rodgers had that extra chip on his shoulder because Aaron Glenn basically said you're too old and you're washed up. And what do you do, throw four touchdowns?
Four touchdowns. He looked good.
He looked pretty good.
Aaron Glenn, Aaron Burr, Hamilton, right? Well, it all goes together.
Yep. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do you make of this feud that has just escalated between Bill Belichick and the Patriots? Belichick saying last week that he's banned Patriots scouts from UNC. When he was asked about it, he said, well, they don't want us in their facility, or specifically him, so they're not welcome here.
Garbage.
Mike Vrabel was asked about it, which this is the last thing he wants to deal with.
Yep.
And he said Bill is welcome. He's been back since he wasn't the coach, and he doesn't know where that's coming from, but but Bill is welcome.
I think Bill's full of you know what. I think he's just making stuff up because everybody's denying.
I think he's pissed at Kraft. I think he's still pissed at Kraft, and this is between Bob Kraft and Belichick.
Well, then don't lie.
Yeah,
you haven't been banned from your facility like that, and you know Vrabel's dealing with losing the first game. Everybody thought they're going to win that game, and now this comes up, and with Belichick, and you know, and Kraft had said when it's over with, they're building a statue. I mean, right. This is just petty ego stuff going on. It's just ridiculous. It's just,
and like the thing you hate to see is, I mean, look, his legacy is going to be there, but it's almost like you know Favre staying on too long, and obviously there's been other things, you know, that have tarnished his legacy. I mean, now you got Bill Belichick that is basically a clown show because of what's going on at Carolina. They don't look like a very good football team. You got the girlfriend that's pretty much running the show, telling him what to do, which is very not Belichick.
Right.
And now he's escalating this feud that I don't think was really there with him and the Patriots.
Yeah.
It's going to take away from all the good things he's done in his coaching career.
Yeah, I totally agree. And he's just got to stop doing it. Just shut your mouth, worry about North Carolina and try to figure it out. But this is all pettiness, and you're buying into what people think about you. I mean, you truly are. You had McClain on the other day talking about all the stuff that that Belichick did, the interview with Holly Rowe before the game, and he was back to being Belichick, and just really, really sad stuff. So, I don't know. It's not a good fit. We knew that in North Carolina. They beat Charlotte the other night, the school, not the spider, and they won. So it's going to be a long year over there. But again, I mean, we're watching it because we all love train wrecks.
Yeah.
We all love to watch a train wreck, and Belichick in North Carolina and his girlfriend, that right now is a train wreck.
How much of a discussion do you think the Titans are having about Matt Stafford in the back? And you don't want to hurt the guy, but like knowing that, well, hurt him – you know, where it affects him the rest of his life.
Are you walking on the field Sunday between the lines?
Yes.
You're damn right I'm going to hurt you. That's the problem with football. Again, kissing your girlfriend is a contact sport. Football is a violent sport. You ask any player, when you walk on those lines, you know exactly what you're doing and what you're getting yourself into. We had Skoronski on 2 years ago, or last year, right? He missed games because of appendix. What was the first question I asked you? Remember?
Yep.
When you're on the ground and the opponent knows your appendix come out, are they punching you in the stomach?
And he said, yeah.
He said, yeah, but I hope it doesn't. You know, I hope they don't do a lot of it. I'm like, it's football. It is football. It is a violent sport. If Matthew Stafford gets out there on Sunday, put him down. Put him down. Now, you don't go out there to break his neck.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying.
You don't want long-term repercussions for him.
But, you know, it's funny. When LeBron James came out a few years ago, like, oh, I want to play – I think I can play football. I think it was like Troy Polamalu was like, yeah, I want to come back and play against you. I want to see you come across the middle.
Yeah.
And try to catch
him one time.
Right? And me coming to hit you. You asked Derek Mason about trying to catch a pass with Troy Polamalu. I mean, it's not easy. You know what you're doing.
The thing. Like, that is the telling thing of, you know, I looked at D-Mace at 51, 52 years old, and he looks like he could still play. Now, he's let the gray go in the beard, and he's kind of looking like Lovie Smith a little bit. But he looks like he could still play. The problem is he's like, man, I get hit, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like,
yep, you're right. So if Stafford wants to take a chance, he's got a bad back and gets out there, that's all Matt Stafford. If he's cleared by the doctors and cleared by medical, then he's good to go. But if you're not 100%, don't play the game. You're out there hurting yourself. Don't do it.
615-737-1025. Is our phone and text line. By the way, the Titans will we got the britches report, which we love from Jim Wyatt. They're going to wear the powder blue tops and the white pants coming up on Sunday for the home debut.
Not bad.
So
you know what would look good with that? A red helmet would look awesome.
It would. A win would look good with it, too.
A win would look really good. A
win would be right. Very nice. Coming up next, we're going to tell you more about Bell Mead Historic Site. Our friend Cherie will join us and tell us all about it. We're excited to be here today. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Wednesday. We're at Belle Meade Historic Site and Winery. It's right here on Harding Road. And Cherie Kelly Price joins us now. What's your official title? I mean, we just think you run the place. You do.
Yeah, I think yeah. so. I'm the CEO.
Okay, the CEO the person that runs the place.
Exactly.
We do that. We've just been talking about how beautiful this site is. It obviously has been around a long time, and we've been saying memberships. I mean, that's really the big thing. If you want to come hang out here and spend a lot of time, become a member.
Exactly. That's what we would love for you all to, anybody that wants to be here and come often, this is the way to do that, is to become a member. And there are a lot of annual pass benefits that you can take advantage of, like a 10% discount on the restaurant and all the other shops. And there's just a lot to see and do here every day.
You can do, and you can set up the tours and tour the mansion, obviously, which is that what most people come to do?
Well,
and drink wine.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like, we're here to see the mansion, and oh, by the way, there's a winery, or we're here for the winery, and oh, by the way, it's a historic
nice.
Site. So it's they get a bonus,
which is good for everybody. All right, Cherie Kelly Price is with the CEO of this place. I asked you earlier, this started, but there's a tie-in, the Kentucky Derby, which I find, Cherie, fascinating. Please explain that for our audience.
Yes, it is very fascinating. And the connection is through our horse, Bonnie Scotland. And Bonnie Scotland, all of the winners of the Derby since, well, forever, as long as we can go tie back the lineage, have that bloodline through Bonnie Scotland. So Bonnie Scotland was here, and then Prohibition came along. I mean, you know, there's a lot between there. But when Prohibition came, all of the horse racing industry went to Kentucky. And so that we, you know, and drinking.
Right.
So that took care of the horse racing industry here in Tennessee. And people forget that mm-hmm. we were the leading thoroughbred breeding farm in the nation right here.
And it goes to everything at Kentucky Derby. And I'm like, oh, up to Prohibition. You're like, no, everything. And I just, mm-hmm. to me, because a lot of people like horse racing and love horses, and the fact that most of it started right here.
Yeah.
And I grew up here, Cherie, and I didn't even know that. I didn't know that.
I know. That a lot of people don't know that. Unfortunately, we don't like it to be the best kept secret. We want everybody to know that.
And you guys have a winery here? I mean, so.
Yes, we started the winery in 2009, and it's a way to help fund the mission that we have of education and preservation of our property. And it's been very successful. And then we've taken on Belle Meade bourbon and doing tastings with that as well. So
in the dining options, we've been eating from the Belle Meade Meat and Three, and then the Bonnie's Bourbon and Wine Bar. You don't have to have a pass or anything to go to those, correct?
Exactly. So if you want to come and have lunch with us, we're open. The restaurant, the Meat and Three, is open from 11 till 3. And then Bonnie's is open, and that's Bonnie, just like Bonnie Scotland the horse. It's open from 11 until 5.
Okay.
Daily. So we're open 7 days a week, 360 days a year. There are 5 days we're closed.
And I know we're in the middle of Belle Meade, but it's quiet. It's really quiet here.
It is quiet. It is a quiet area. It's not like being downtown.
Thank
you know,
God.
We're the oasis. We want to be that oasis so that you can come here and enjoy music in the wine garden on the weekends, on Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays.
Right.
So there's a lot.
I saw you working your magic with people walking around here and just, I mean, that's got to be a fun part of the job, just talking to people because that Denver, Chicago, I think New Mexico, I met in the parking lot. I mean, they're everywhere if they come here.
They are. They're coming from everywhere, which is a great thing. And I love that. That's what, you know, we're all about history, horses, and hospitality. So we want to extend the best hospitality that we possibly can when you're here in Nashville, whether you're local or you're visiting from Wyoming or wherever.
Yes.
We've already had some people from, I think, Chicago come up and say hi this morning. Yeah. So they're all around. Visit bellmead.com. That's the website, so you can learn more about the grounds and memberships and everything.
Exactly. So we have a lot of tours that we offer every day, and then all of our wine and food experiences as well.
I hearken this back to when I was growing up, my mom would get me a season pass to Opryland USA.
Exactly.
It would take care of everything. So get a membership pass here. Come as much as you want, and it's perfect.
That's exactly right. How we miss Opryland.
We do. Yeah. But, now
but
we got
this is
place,
it. This
right?
is it. Yes. So come and be a member, become a member, be a part of all that we do here.
Weddings. You do weddings here, too.
Oh, yes.
I'm not looking for that right now.
Okay. Just keep us in mind when that day comes.
When somebody does come and they're inquiring about Bonnie Scotland, the horse, everything, what would you show them here?
Well, we have it's all – when you come through the front doors of the mansion – they're not portraits of people. They're portraits of horses.
Oh, yes.
So that's what you're going to see and hear about. You're going to hear about our people as well. But that's when you're going to hear the whole story. And you can't get it in one time visit to Bellmead.
Right.
It's multiple times. And we have some great events coming up that are community events. So Trick or Treat's coming in October. And then we have a Christmas open house in November 13th. And that's free to the public, and so we would love for people to come out for those.
Nice.
Too.
I bet you do a lot of Christmas parties.
We do. We do. In fact, there's a corporate event going on here today that they're.
Oh, what
they
time?
Yeah.
Everybody.
You can crash the party there.
We will. When is the, I don't mean to put you on the spot, when's the Halloween?
It's October the 26th. It's
okay.
on a Sunday afternoon.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm going to, Chase likes to dress up as Mr. Incredible, and I'll bring him over here.
Okay.
Around it.
Perfect.
Get candy.
We'll go trick-or-treating.
This is beautiful. This is really nice. And I hate to belabor the point, but I grew up in Nashville. I did not know 90% of this, and I'm mad at myself.
It's you know, there's so many people that we hear say that, you know, they'll say, well, we came on a field trip in the fifth grade and we haven't been back.
Yeah.
Or this is right in our backyard and we don't take advantage of it, and it's a beautiful place to take advantage of.
I feel like
year round
people that live in Nashville are scared to do the Nashville things.
I get
and
you.
I don't point. I've
yeah.
been guilty
yeah.
of it but
yeah.
but it's and I've lived I'm born and raised here.
Yeah, you just
but
take
there's
it
so many right because it's
granted.
Like you pass by it and go, oh yeah, I know that's there.
Yeah, yeah, and that's true. I mean, you're going down Harding Pike or Harding Place right here.
Yep.
And guess what? Those roads are named after the Hardings
yes.
from this site
Love
right
it.
Here.
Yeah.
Our good friend Ricky says that the Meat and Three is one of his favorites.
Oh,
so
good.
You
Yay.
Got a fan in that. So.
All right.
And
way
I
to
know,
go, Ricky.
Yeah,
way
people,
to go, Ricky.
Good job, Rick. A lot of people come by and go to that. But, Cherie, thank you so much for having us today. I know we're going to talk a little bit more later on about some cool things going on. But visit bellmead.com. That's where you can find everything.
Yes, and thank you all very much.
Yes, ma'am.
It's our pleasure to host you here today.
Love it. So, thank you.
Cherie Kelly Price, the CEO here at Bellmead Historic Site and a Winery. Again, visit bellmead.com is where you can find more info and how to become a member and all those things. You know, Christmas is not far away. A membership could be a good gift. I'm just saying.
It is. And he laid the groundwork for your future marriage.
Yeah, it might be well
here.
On that.
I'm going to give them away, Cherie, so I'm excited.
My mother would like that to happen sooner than later, but I don't know if –
proposal packages here, too.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
Oh, okay. I like this. What, they do everything out here. This is great.
There's just one little part of that missing, and kind of an important piece, but we'll see what we can work out.
Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah, again, and if you want us to come hang out at your business, together at CromwellMedia.com, and we can make that. Les is the man that made this happen, so we can certainly make that happen. Ian Eagle coming up here in just a few minutes. He's going to be on the call for the Titans and the Rams game. I find this matchup to be very intriguing, Joe, because don't ask me why. I feel like this is a game the Titans can win.
I hope so. I think so as well.
Because my hope is they're going to look at last week and the mistakes they made and have a bounce back. Now, I don't think they're going to play a team that is going to keep them in the game like Denver did. And obviously Denver has been harping that point this week of, like, we can't do that.
Right.
But I don't know. You're at home. Everybody's going to be hyped. It's Cam Ward's regular season home debut. He impressed people last week. So I think that there's some intrigue there that, you know, might be enough to push them across the finish
line. Rams got a really good defense again, like the Broncos did. But you're at home. You get the momentum. Get the adrenaline flowing. Set things up again for Cam Easy. And receivers, catch the ball. Things be a whole lot different if you just catch the ball. Calvin Ridley, if you are scared to go across the middle, then tell the coach.
Yep.
I'm afraid to go across the middle. It's okay. It's okay. We'll put somebody else in that knows how to go across
the
middle.
Well, it's not okay for how much they paid him, but, you know.
Take that up with Rand Carthon.
He's asleep. Justin said, I don't care if the Titans go out dressed as sumo wrestlers with their numbers painted on themselves as long as they win.
Fine. Yep. Let it go. Let it happen.
That's a fair point. Coming up next, Ian Eagle. He is one of the main voices on CBS. He'll be doing the game alongside J.J. Watt and Evan Washburn. We will talk to him coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. You'll hear that music on Sunday here from Nissan Stadium when the Tennessee Titans take on the Los Angeles Rams. And the man that will be on the call joining us now on the Chasing Big Joe show, the great Ian Eagle. Ian, how you doing? Good to talk to you.
Hey, what's up, guys? Great to talk to you again.
We're excited to have you and your partner, J.J. Watt. What's it been like working with J.J. to this point?
Yeah, J.J., it's been great. We work out together. We share clothes. It's awesome. Hair product. It's been fantastic, guys. He's just a super dude. He's very natural and conversational. He's very at ease on television, and then you just have the wealth of knowledge. This guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He loves football. I think he walked away from last week's game recognizing why he made the move from the studio to the booth, because you get a different sort of emotion when you do your job. The game's in front of you. There's 70,000 people around you. It's heart-pulsing action, and I just think he walked away from MetLife Stadium last week thinking, wow, I'm sweating. I never sweat in the studio. It's a different feeling entirely. It was really great, and he's just already got himself a real solid foundation of what to do and how to do this job.
So, obviously, you know, the focus is going to be on Cam Ward, making his debut last week against Denver. People that have, you know, watched the tape were pretty impressed with him. What are some things that you've seen in your prep getting ready for now game number two with Cam Ward under center?
Yeah, I get the sense he's very even-keeled and has that gunslinger mentality, which will serve him well in the NFL, but he needs help. It can't be all him. He can't be a Superman at this stage. The first game I ever did on CBS NFL was September of 1998. It was Peyton Manning's first game as a pro. They're playing the Miami Dolphins. Dan Marino is a veteran at that point. He's a year shy of retirement. And Peyton Manning's playing in his first game. It's the number one overall pick out of Tennessee. And there were moments there where you saw that he has the ability and has the talent to one day be an impact player. But in that game, Miami intercepted him a few times. Dolphins beat the Colts, and Peyton was certainly humbled in game one. And I only use that example because everybody's got to start somewhere. This is a really hard job. To me, it's the hardest job in professional sports is playing quarterback in the NFL. And what you really do need is support. So that means Calvin Ridley's got to be his best. Two drops. Not going to help. The running game, the offensive line, they have to be at their best. They have to win their battles this week against the Rams. And obviously defense did, in my mind, a really good job last week, kept them in the game. It was an ugly game, yet they had a chance to win. And that's okay. In year two of this rebuild, you want to be competitive. And you want to know that when the Titans take the field, that there's a chance they can win the game because of what they bring week in and week out in terms of effort and intensity.
Interesting. Ian Eagle's on with us on the Chasing Big Joe show. How is your breakdown go when you're studying your next opponent or an upcoming game? Do you have like Tuesday, Wednesday, you sit in your room and you break? How does it work for you? How do you break down like the Titans this week?
I tend to do home team Monday, so commit all my time and energy to the home team on Monday. I move to the road team, do the same thing on Tuesday, and then Wednesday I start to blend the two. That's when you're getting a better sense of what notes are out there. You're doing your prep work on both teams for matchups, and then you start watching the game tape from last week. So Monday, Tuesday, at least in my routine, has always been split them up, and then Wednesday you open up your brain a little bit to start looking at it for the matchup that it is, not just the individual team.
When you'll arrive in Nashville, what, Friday, and you'll go to the Titans facility and talk to them? Is that how this works?
Yeah.
And Saturday at the hotel, you'll talk to the Rams?
Yeah, you nailed it. That's the normal regimen around the NFL. Teams do it different. Broadcast teams do it different. There's no right way, wrong way. We tend to do the Friday home team, get some practice in, get some time with the head coach, with a few of the players, and then flip it for the team that arrives in town Saturday and at least get some face-to-face time.
Are you always amazed how much players and coaches share with you? I know they trust you, and I know you're not going to do anything to lose that trust, but are you always amazed, like, man, they're sharing so much? And then it plays out on Sunday, like, oh, my goodness, it's exactly what they were talking about.
Yeah, it's funny. I think that's built over time. Obviously, I've been doing this a long time, and credibility means a great deal in this particular position. You have to be smart with the information that you have. You have to look at it from a big picture point of view. We're not there, at least it's not our job, to break stories and create narratives. We're there to report on the game. But if you have additional insight to do your reporting, that's where you can stand out. So, look, some of those production meetings, there are players and coaches that are just trying to fill the 8 to 12 minutes and they're going to give you the same perfunctory answers. And then, trust me, there are some that are willing to go a little deeper and share with you some of the insight that will help you prepare for the game. And then it's really on you to use the information correctly, to pick and choose the right spot. You know, I think early in my career, when I started doing this, I just wanted to show everybody how much I knew first 4 years doing this job. And then at some point, year five, it hit me that that's not the job. The job is to use the right information at the right time and not try to force feed information that doesn't fit.
We're talking to Ian Eagle. He's going to be on the call for CBS alongside J.J. Watt and Evan Washburn when the Titans take on the Rams coming up on Sunday. What's it been, you know, we've seen Brian Callahan as an assistant, obviously he was the offensive coordinator with the Bengals for a long time before he came here. Now in year number two as a head coach, you know, we obviously see it on a daily basis, but from your view, what's kind of been your impression of him so far as a coach?
Well, I know he's a good dude. That part I've known for a while, and that was certainly confirmed last year when we met with him prior to Titans Jets week two, if I remember correctly. And last year's team, you know, the talent unfortunately just wasn't there to be terribly competitive. The Will Levis situation, which I really think they tried. They tried to make that work, and Will's effort was never questioned. Hopefully there's a career for Will in this league in some form. Ultimately, your style is going to be showcased week to week by your players. And based on the kind of lessons that are taught and created throughout the week. And that's not things that you guys or I can see day to day. We can surmise what the culture is, but only the players and the coaches and the staff know. Are there good vibrations in there? Is there accountability in there? You know, I think he has all the makings to be a successful head coach. But oftentimes when you take these kinds of jobs, you need some things to fall in your direction the right way. And certainly he needs Cam Ward to be a legitimate player at this level. If he is and they're tied together at the hip and they have success together, this could be a very long marriage. And we've seen the opposite take place in the NFL, where either the number one overall pick or a top five draft pick at quarterback doesn't quite materialize. And that's where questions begin to pop and then changes ultimately are made.
we always talk about players and having another level. You know, prime example, the quarterback, you know, when you see him as a rookie and then you see him again in his second year or his third year, you're going to see changes, hopefully. You're going to see growth. But I look at and J.J. Watt's a perfect example of a guy that you saw just go to multiple levels in a Hall of Fame career. I look at Jeffrey Simmons, who I believe has yet another level, is already a great player for the Titans. Do you see that as someone that doesn't see the same team every week? Is it tangible how much of a growth of a player that you can actually see when you only see them every now and then?
Yeah, I think, you know, the funny thing when you watch games and put on tape, look, I'm looking for different things sometimes. I'm trying to identify players quickly. You know, I'm trying to keep in focus my job. My job is to analyze the game. My job is to set up the analyst. But if I have a working knowledge of the team, it better serves the broadcast crew, and I can better work with JJ or Charles Davis or Dan Fouts or Rich Gannon or Solomon Wilcots or Mark May, all the different partners that I've had over the years in the NFL. Jeffrey Simmons stands out when you put on the game. He stands out in his position. He's incredibly disruptive. I remember very vividly meeting with Mike Vrabel when Simmons came to the Titans, and him looking at us and telling us in the production meeting, like, no, I don't think you understand. This guy's at a different level. And, you know, at that point, we know nothing. We haven't seen Jeffrey Simmons in the NFL, and he's coming off injury, if you remember. And he was right. He knew exactly what he was looking at. I think, obviously, this week, JJ, that'll be a big part of what we're doing in the booth. He's going to have a full breakout of what Simmons brings and what you're alluding to. Is there another level that Simmons can go to be considered a superstar in the NFL?
And I'm just glad that, and a lot of Titans fans are, well, that JJ's in the booth and not on the field because he wreaked havoc at Nissan Stadium every single time he came to town, and it wasn't even funny. I mean, he was a dominating force on that.
I can't promise you that video has been burned. It probably still exists, and that means it very well could end up on the broadcast on Sunday. I'm just telling you right now.
It should. How far out do you know what games you're doing? Did you not find out? Like, when did you know you're doing the Titans and Rams?
No, we actually knew in August. They gave us our first 3 weeks, and then they gave us our fourth week last week. So we have Pittsburgh at New England week 3, and we have Washington at Atlanta week 4.
Oh, nice. You've been a voice. I mean, I feel like, and Chase feels the same way, Ian, like you're part of our family. I mean, you've been in my living room more than probably any other family member because we've heard you for years and years. Yeah. If I ask you to pick your favorite moment as a play-by-play, can you?
No, I don't know if I could pick out one particular moment. I've literally called thousands of games now between NFL and NBA and college basketball and tennis and golf and track and field and boxing. But I can tell you this from my personal point of view. I had so many Titans games early in my career, and I look back on that time and I really do cherish it. Jeff Fisher was such a pleasure to deal with. The fan base was so excited to have a team in Nashville, and those teams still have a place in my memory bank with McNair and George. That whole group was so exciting. And then even the next iteration, the Vince Young, Chris Johnson group, I have so many memories and highlights. Just calling Derrick Henry runs, like that is a play-by-play guy. You know going in, this guy's going to provide you with something exciting. Now it's your time and moment to meet the moment. And yeah, that was always the great pleasure of coming and doing Titans games.
Do you critique yourself? Because, like, I hate hearing myself. I did TV for so many years as a sports anchor here in Nashville. I never watched myself because I'm like, oh, my God. Are you past that? Because you're a professional. You do a great job.
I would say I'm past it. I think early on, there were definitely those moments if you would if you would hear the tape back. And remember, when I started with CBS, we were talking about VHS tapes. That's
right.
That's how you would have to watch yourself. They would send you these VHS tapes in the mail, and I would pop the game on. And, yeah, I'm with you. I was not necessarily comfortable. You know what's really interesting, though? This was something that I figured out a few years in, because I would watch my game back the second it would come in the mail on either Monday afternoon or Tuesday morning. And I did that for the first 3 years of my career at CBS. And I didn't feel like I was making drastic improvement in what I was doing. And at some point, probably around year four, I decided to stop doing that. And what I would do is during the summer, I would watch a random game back from a year earlier or 2 years earlier. So now the information was not fresh in my head. I don't remember why we did X in the open. I don't remember why I said what I said. It was all just clear in my brain, and I could truly assess it and evaluate it. And that's what I started doing. And even now, I'll pop in a game from 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and I think I get a better sense of performance than when it's so fresh that I can't truly look at what I did and give an honest feedback of it. So that ended up being much more helpful to me than what I was doing previously.
Good.
I can tell you this, that, you know, when you listen to a broadcast or watch a broadcast, you can tell when the announcers are having fun. I feel like with the NCAA tournament, you have a lot of fun, and I always enjoy your coverage of the NCAA tournament, and I know it has to be cool.
Oh, it means a lot. Thank you. I mean, obviously, being with Bill Raftery and Grant Hill, I've known Raf forever, and he's one of my best friends on earth. So we can go places maybe that some broadcast partners can't go, because we know that we're going there together. And I even sense that with JJ, even after just one game. There is a sense of levity and, you know, busting chops that is acceptable in a relationship if both parties are into it and are on board together. And that's, you guys know, you understand from a chemistry standpoint, you can't do the show that you're doing every day if you're overthinking what your partner might be thinking. It has to be reactionary, instinctual. You're making decisions in real time, and in doing so, you really got to trust your instincts that, hey, this is good for the show. And in my mind, whatever I do, I'm trying to do what's best for the broadcast, truly. Not what's best for me, not what's best for our analyst, not what's best for the sideline person. I'm just doing what's best for the broadcast. And as long as you have that philosophy, I think you can't go wrong.
Before we let you go, how much do you get to be dad and cheer Noah on? He does a tremendous job with, you know, what he's doing with NBC and his own career. You got your stuff, but that has to be pretty special to watch your son follow in your footsteps.
Oh, yeah, it's been so cool. It really has. I think probably the person that's not getting enough credit is my wife, who now has to tack on an extra 3.5 hours of football every week that was not a part of her life prior. So she's watching the Saturday night game on NBC. She's watching my game on Sunday. She's crushing tape on Tuesday. No, she's not doing that. she obviously is so proud, and I'm so proud. I'm proud of him as a person more than anything else. He's just handled everything really well. He's a good dude. He gets it. He understands how all this stuff works, and he cares. He cares about doing the job the right way, treating people the right way. So, no, it's a father's dream. If your kid even has an interest in what you do, that gives you those good feelings. If they actually want to do what you do, that's a whole other area of pride that I've been feeling and continue to feel every year.
Well, Ian, we appreciate you taking the time to join us today. We look forward to the broadcast on Sunday in Nashville. But thanks again, and we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Excited about it. We'll see you this weekend.
Absolutely. Ian Eagle, he will be on the call with J.J. Watt and Evan Washburn for the Titans and the Rams on CBS coming up this Sunday. And, again, he does it all. Does the NBA, does college basketball.
Great. He's great.
As we mentioned, I mean, he's one of those versatile broadcasters. And we appreciate him joining us. We'll react to some of that and wrap up Hour number two next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Well, this is perfect for our question of the day. Chasing Big Joe, we're presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel and live today at Belmead Historic Site and Winery. But our question of the day is, Joe.
Chase and Jake Lyman are participating in the Nashville Fair cow milking competition tomorrow night. I'm lucky I get to host that. We're going against other media outlets in Nashville. So our question of the day is, what advice do you have for Chase and Jake on how to milk a cow? We want to win this. So we need advice. What advice do Chase and Jake need? 615-737-1025. You can call or text. All ideas are welcome. Please let us know.
I just know some of them I can read and some of them I can't because I
oh yes
I like my job. Yeah, so 615-737-1025. We had some good ones earlier. Again, most of them I couldn't read, but they were fun.
But we need – look, the girls from Local Lawn 2, Stephanie and Laura, are already talking – some serious junk, man, and they need to be knocked down a notch off because they won it last year.
Yeah.
And they said at all accounts they're going to defend their title. I'm like, you haven't met Chase and Jake yet.
Lenny said earlier, play Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye. And he just said, that's my song. You're going to win. Set
that's
the mood.
It. You got to get the trophy, bring it back Friday. If you guys win Friday, we'll be just nonstop.
We'll bring that trophy in, show it off.
So you're going against the four other TV stations, and then you guys are battling tomorrow night. So five.
Yeah.
Five teams in there.
We're looking forward to it. And it's going to be fun.
I did it 2 years ago. I came in last. You did it last year. Or you hosted last year.
Yeah.
Do they predetermine? I mean, is there like a cow that gives a sign like, hey, I got you? Does a cow let you know?
No. Not usually.
Is it the skinny cow? I mean, I don't know how this is.
Not really.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I do not. I'm fascinated by this.
I mean, there was one, like, 2 years ago, one looked at me like, this might not work out well for you.
And it didn't.
And it didn't.
He came in last.
That's how it is. 615-737-1025.
Oh, man.
We will have more coming in hour number three, Chasing Big Joe, live at Belmead Site, Historic Site and Winery, here on 102.5 The Game.